I haven't got a long sermon, just that you know. I want to just continue with the theme of the Father Heart of God, and I want to remind you of that wonderful parable that Jesus told, the parable of the prodigal father. And this was probably the gospel within the gospels. Jesus was a great, probably one of the greatest storytellers of all time. And he tells this wonderful story, and this is Jesus at his very, very best. And he tells of a story of a son who approached his father one day and asked for his share of the inheritance. And once he had received that, he left and he went off into the far country and got involved with the wrong crowd. And after spending time on riotous living and revelry, he began to lose his money, and once his money was lost, his fair-weather friends began to disappear and forsake him, and finally he ended up in a pig pen, and this young Jewish boy was in the pig pen feeding pigs. It's totally uncharacteristic of the Jews, and he sat there and he came to his senses. The Bible says he came to his senses and he said, "I will return to my father. And I will ask my father to hire me as one of his hired servants. The servants have enough bread to eat, and I will go back. I don't think they'll be accepted back as a son. I will go back to the father." And he returns back to the father. And the father sees him coming in the distance and runs out to meet him, and he greets him. And let's go to Luke 15 and verse 20 and read from that verse. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf. That was the only one that wasn't too excited about the situation. And kill it. And let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The older brother was out in the darkness and he returned and he said, what's going on? And he wasn't too impressed with what was going on, the fact that his younger son had returned. But we won't go into that aspect of the wonderful story of Jesus. But we see in this parable that the father was the central figure in this story. William Wordsworth, father, to God himself we cannot give a holier name. I mean, we can give God a whole lot of names, but Wordsworth says, Father, that is the holiest of all the names, Father. And so we see in this incredible parable here that this is the story. The Bible sometimes says this is the story of the prodigal son. What does prodigal mean? Prodigal means unrestrained, extravagant, lavish. Listen. If there was anybody who was unrestrained, extravagant, and lavish, I would have thought that it was the father. He was so lavish in his love and his compassion for his son that we have to call it the parable of the prodigal father. You see, when you say it's the parable of the prodigal son, it's seen in a negative light. But if you say this is the parable of the prodigal father, it's seen in a much more positive light. And Jesus teaches us that we should have this experience with the Father. With the Father. The God of the universe is the God who is concerned with every little thing that goes on in your life. So I have a couple of points that I quickly want to go through. We see that the Father was incredibly approachable. When the Son comes to the Father, he doesn't come because he wants to get out of the house. He comes not to somebody who is a dictator. He approaches the father. He says, give me my share of the inheritance, please. And the father gives it to him and he goes off into the far country. The second thing about this parable is that it's pretty easy to break the father's heart. Did the son know that he was breaking the father's heart? Do we know that we sometimes break the father's heart? We break the father's heart every time we turn our backs on him. Every time we resist his control and refuse his guidance. We break his heart every time we renounce his goodness as the source of our lives. And there are a thousand little ways that remove and separate us from our Father. The far country is the realm of rebellion. It's not a geographical location. It is just the realm of rebellion. I am going to do things my own way. That's why I've often said Frank Sinatra's a great song, My Way, is going to be the anthem of hell one day. My Way. And that's how we show that we are in the far country, by doing things our own way, resisting God's guidance as the source in our lives. You see, the far country will always take as much as it can get. And within no time, the son was without money. And when he was without money, he was without friends. And he was alone. And he was away from the father. But he came to his senses and he said, I'm going to go back to my dad. Those servants have more than enough at my dad's home. And I'm going to just ask him to hire me as a servant. And he starts off and he goes home. And the third point is the father is incredibly forgiving. Incredibly forgiving. And the father gave him immediately and instantly. I think the father had watched every single day. Since the son had gone off, he had watched every single day. Reports had come back from people and saying, the son, he's really slipping up. But the father kept on watching, kept on hoping. And he watched and he hoped until the sun set. But then one day, he saw in the distance a man walking. And it was his son. And his heart exploded and he ran down. You know, it wasn't good for old men to run. They walked in public. But this was dad running towards his son. And he ran towards his son, embraced him, hugged him, and kissed him on the cheek. See, that's God. That's what God does. Every step that we take towards God, God takes too. Before we ever turned around to face God, he was still turned towards us. When we turn back, as we turn back, we see that he's already running towards us out of the house of his love. And he runs and he meets his son and kisses him. Such affection. Such love. When we are far away, the Father loves us. Before we ever turned back to him, he was loving us. When we broke his law, he loved us. When we go our own way, he loves us. When we say, leave us alone, I want to do my own thing, he shows his love. He says, I'm going to stick around anyway. When we ran away, he followed us. When we hid, he found us. When we cursed him, he smiled and said, I love you anyway. He's incredibly loyal in his love. He calms our fears. He cheers us on. He provides for what we really need. He lets us go our own way and then welcomes us back from the far country. That's the Father's love. The Father reinstated him. The son was saying something like, please, sorry for what I've done, but accept me back as a servant. Accept me back as a servant. The Father didn't hear any of that. Didn't hear any of that. And the fourth thing, Father extends his love. The Father extends his love to this guy. He says, come, I want you to be in a place where you are my son. Bring the robe, bring a ring, bring sandals for your feet. The Father loves us with an incredible love. One of the things that we need to communicate is we need to teach you how to love God. But more than that, we need to tell you over and over that God loves you. John chapter 17 and verse 23. This is the high priestly prayer of Jesus, and he's praying. And he's praying to the Father, I in them and you in me, that they be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me. Now listen to this. That you have loved them as you have loved me. Grasp that. That the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Wow. That verse changes everything. Wow upon wow upon wow. He loves you and me as much as he loves Jesus. Listen to some of the things that the Lord says to us, says over us. In Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8, he says, you're the apple of my eye. So, right down on the bottom, touches you, touches the apple of my eye. You mess with my children, you mess with my kids, you're touching the apple of my eye. It's not just this green, juicy Granny Smith apple. That's not what it means. It means the pupil of the eye. This is the most sensitive. You protect this thing. Above everything else, you protect your eyes. And so when you mess with God, it's you mess with God's children. You're sticking your finger in God's eye. Don't mess with the apple of my eye. He also says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17, is that we are his jewels. In Isaiah 56 and verse 5, he says that he will give us an everlasting name. In Psalm 56 and verse 8, he says that he puts our tears, the tears that he's cried, in a bottle. That was the old Jewish custom, that when a father cried, he used to scrape off the tears that he was crying, and he used to keep it. And so when you saw in this little bottle the tears that were mounting up, that was, I've cried bitter tears over you. And God has cried tears over us when we are away and in the far country. We really matter to God. Neil pointed out that we are a royal priesthood. We're princes, we're kings. We are fellow heirs. In Psalm 16 and verse 3, we are called the majestic ones. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, we are called vessels of honor. In the Revelation, in the book of Revelation, we are asked to come and to sit on the throne with the Lord. It's like we are welcomed and we are invited up onto the throne and seated there with him. And then the last thing that I want to share is the Father loves to party. It was celebration that took place, except for the fatted calf. It was celebration, a robe that was placed. You see, a robe, what robe was it? Was it the son's old robe before he left? Or was it the father's very own robe or a robe of an honored guest? But whatever it was, it was honor that the father was giving to the son. And a ring for his finger, this calloused, dirty hand. Come, give me a ring. It speaks of mastery. It's a symbolic band that the father has with his son. And bare feet. Slaves were those that walked around with bare feet. No son of mine is going to be a slave. You're a son. I want you to have sandals. This is a wonderful story. This is an incredible story. I want to tell give two illustrations now. There were two brothers that went into, at the beginning of the year, a Sunday school class. And the new teacher was getting to know all the children. And these two brothers were sitting there. They looked different. And the teacher said, "Give me your birthdays." The one brother said, "My birthday is on the 8th of February." And the other brother said, "My birthday is on the 28th of February." And the teacher said, "You're the same age, but you're not twins. How can that be? 8th of February and the 23rd of February? What's going on here? You're not twins." So one of the boys looked at the teacher and said, "One of us is adopted." And before the teacher could restrain himself or think about what he was saying, he blurted out and he said, "Which one is adopted?" And the boys looked at one another and they smiled and they said, "Well, we've asked our dad and he's forgotten because he loves us both the same." Let's go back to John chapter 17 and verse 23. "So that the world will know that you have sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me." Once again, wow. Just want to finish off with this story. Years ago, I was about 24 years of age. I had the privilege of traveling around the United States for a year, stayed with a family for 4 months. And one afternoon, a friend of theirs came to visit. And this woman thought that I was very special. Yeah, I know when you're a South African and you're in America, you speak with a different accent, everybody thinks you're special for a short period of time. But she really thought, and I was surprised at her wanting to speak to me and the interest that she showed towards me. But then I realized why that was. She had a son, had a son that I reminded her very much of the son. And she told the story how he went off to university, college. They took him. They spent a night on the road. Just the incredible fellowship and the friendship that they experienced as a family with him. And then they dropped him off at the dorm and they said goodbye to him. And he was killed on the way back on his first holiday. And I reminded her, when I said goodbye and I need to go down to the church and to do something at the church, she gave me a hug, and it was such a hard hug that my sunglasses that were in my top pocket just simply exploded. I mean, they were cheap glasses, so it's okay. And I drove away, you know, because she said, just as we were parting, she said, "I still have three boys at home." And these were her words: 4 minus 1. Doesn't always equal plenty. People say to me, "You've got plenty of activity, plenty of responsibilities, there's plenty of laughter, there's lots of activity, lots of ball games, and lots of meals to prepare. But 4 minus 1 doesn't equal plenty." And I drove to the church and I thought, wow, I wonder how God feels about his children. He's got plenty of activities, plenty to watch over. He has plenty of doctors and businessmen and salesmen and investors and carpenters and candlestick makers. He has plenty of everybody except you. Except you. And maybe there are times that he misses you so much that he can hardly stand it. And when he crowds you in a little bit, try to forgive him, because it might be one of those nights that he misses you so much that he can hardly stand it. That empty spot in his heart, that empty chair at the table when you're not at home, breaks his heart. And we're reminded of his love. We'll never, ever be able to understand fully the incredible love that the Father has for us. And when we begin to realize that incredible joy that we put into the heart of the Father, it will change everything. Because that has to be one of the most exciting and liberating aspects in the Christian life. Once again, the Father loves you. Let's pray together.